Thanks for listening to this edition of the Lanco Worship Link Training. We get together to inspire, connect, and equip local worship teams. Find out when the next event is at lancoworshiplink.blogspot.com.
Well, good morning, all you saints of light. How are you doing today? See, that's good. I see smiles on the faces when I say the saints of light. You realize who we are. We remember. Huh? Lord, I thank you for all these saints of light. I thank you for your presence in this room, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us, giving us your divine nature, your wisdom, your truth, your knowledge, the knowledge of your heart. How many of you know how to sit in the presence of God? We know he's everywhere all at once. We get that. But how many of you know, like when we corporately gather and you can kind of feel that? You know what I'm talking about? You can feel that, the saturation of his spirit. So I like to kind of go slow and just let the Lord saturate us. You know, there's things that your spirit will get that your mind won't. You see it all the time. Like if you're how many of you are worship leaders? How many of you are in the band of worship leaders? So we're all worship leaders pretty much, right? We come from Texas. We just moved up here a few months ago. We go to Life Center in Harrisburg. And we work with an organization called Burn 24/7. So we're all about the fire of God. We're all about the presence of God being made manifest in this tangible reality right here in our midst. Like, I can feel the cloud of God. I can feel him hovering in the room. I can feel him radiating out of your eyes. I am enlivened to his presence and his spirit. That we are designed to walk in the heart of God. We're designed to release it. We're designed to release it with passion like David. Otherwise, we'll be a barren bride like Michael. You see, David walked through the streets of peace, the streets of Jerusalem, undignified, ripping his clothes off, just dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not telling you go rip your clothes off. I'm just saying. Laughter's good. Hey, I got an idea. Is anybody good with this? Yeah, everybody's good with Daniel having an idea. That's awesome. Can we shout to the Lord? David, the heart of David, I'm a Davidic worshiper. How many, do I have any Davidic worshipers here? You know what I mean by that? Davidic, I'm like crazy. I'm vicious. I'm ravenous. I got one. Stand. Shout. Longer. Yeah! It was that shout that took down the wall at Jericho. It was that shout that took the city for God. We just sang a song that said, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." He just said, "Put fire in my hands." Do you want fire? Do you want a passion? Do you want to burn? I want everybody to stand and hold out your hands. This is the heart and the soul of the band. It's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was the heart of God. The mind of Christ was the heart of God. What was David? A man after God's own heart. Let's close our eyes. Father, my Father, Abba, I come prowling like a lion this morning. Father, place a fire in our hands because the world needs it. For the sake of the world, place a fire in my hands this morning. Say that. Say it louder. Now I want to let out a shout that the earth can hear. And I'm not just talking about the people in the earth. I want the stones to hear you. I want the trees to hear you. I want the ground to become fertile with the shout of God. Can we do that? On three, who's feeling that burning? Who can feel the rumble in their tumble? Who can feel it? Raise your hand if you can feel it. can feel a rumbling in your tumbly. That's Holy Spirit rumbling in your belly. You were designed to walk in passion. You were designed to walk with the fruitfulness of the heart of God. He is passionate for you. Otherwise, he would not have sent his son to bleed and die for you. He's that passionate. We should be that passionate out of surrender. So we're going to surrender to this fire that I'm bringing to you this morning. How's that sound? On three, we're going to let out a shout that will shout. This shout will release you from any insecurity. This shout is going to bring the kingdom into your heart to release the kingdom out of your heart into the earth. Does that sound good? We're going to release heaven. You were designed to release heaven. You're getting a lot of good stuff even right now as we speak. This air's been prayed over. God's in every molecule. Right down to every molecule that's in your hands right now. Can anybody feel a fire in their hands right now? Who feels a fire in your hands? One, two, three, four, five. You're feeling a literal fire in your hands. Coo. Thank you, Lord. Father is moving amongst us right now. He's shaking off every critical spirit that would come against the heart of God. The critic will always miss the spirit. But we're not going to be people who miss the spirit, are we? We're not going to be critical. How do we shake off a critical spirit? We get the Father's heart to raise up sons and daughters. It's Malachi 4:6. It's the spirit of Elijah that's already entered into the earth to restore the hearts of the Father, the heart of the Father to the children, and the heart of the children to the Father. Jesus said, the spirit of Elijah has already come in John the Baptist, but you killed him too, and you're going to kill me. But it was the joy set before Jesus. And in the Psalms, it says that God sits on his throne laughing. He's not looking down condemning you. He's not looking down in this, look what you did wrong. He's looking down with the heart of the Father saying, come up here, come up here. You think you deserve the right to sit on the mercy seat? You don't, but come up here. You don't, come up here. That's how we should be with our worship teams. So I want to let out a shout right now. Everybody ready? On three. One. Two. Three. Oh! This is the army! This is the army! This is the army of God! This is the army of God! The army of God goes before those with the swords and the arrows. Did you know that? The worshipers. Israel always sent the worshipers first into battle. You are the first line of defense for the kingdom. In the revolution of the kingdom that is coming on earth as it is in heaven, stop looking for the Antichrist. Stop looking for 666. Stop looking for the world to end and start looking for Jesus to come. You're designed to be the hope of the nations, the love of God. You are the meek inheriting the earth. Isn't that good news? You say, Daniel, I'm not meek. Did you surrender to Jesus? Yeah, you did, or you wouldn't be here right now. You're the meek because the proud resist him and he resists them. He's not resisting you right now. He sent a little guy from Texas with a lion's mane to come up here and growl in your face and roar and ignite a fire in your life that will never end. I think the Lord's forgiving of the decibel levels, so I don't worry about that. The Lord shines on passion. He shines on a heart laid down. Raise your hand if you want to be a laid down lover. Lord, make us laid down lovers. Make me a laid down lover. Make me a laid down lover. Say that. Say it again till you believe it. I'm lover. Make me a laid down lover. Make me a laid down lover. You see, the formulas and the programs are good until they become an idol. And the Lord says, you've trusted in your plan and not in my heart. We're moving into an era in life. You can sit down if you want to and keep your hands out or stand up. I don't care if you stand up. You could run around this room screaming like a maniac and it would not bother me, because I believe that's what went on in the tabernacle of David for 33 years, which happens to be the same amount of time that Jesus walked on the earth. And in the last days, there will be a restoration of the tabernacle of David. There will be great halals in the presence of God. A halal is that. It's the Hebrew, one of the seven Hebrew words for praise. Do you know that there are seven Hebrew words for praise, but we only use one a lot of times in our Bible? But there's dimensions on dimensions on dimensions of our worship. We are interdimensional creatures bringing that to a room. When you go up to worship, in a second, Natalia's going to talk more practically. You know, in Isaiah, it says that I'll make my house a house of prayer and make them joyful in my house of prayer. So when I see laughter in the house of God, I know that the Spirit's with me. When I see freedom and liberty, I know that the Spirit's with me. When I see people that don't feel condemned or beat down or who's looking at me, when I see that, then I know that the Spirit is there. It's not always false humility and false reverence. Sometimes the greatest reverence is surrender, which may make you look clamorously foolish. Feels good in here, doesn't it? Feels good. It's good. How many of you feel good right now? How many of you feel an ignition taking place? See, I feel like the Lord puts me in places sometimes to ignite. Maybe all the time. Is it good, Dave? Good, good. Natalia, do you want to go ahead or no? You want me to kind of... I don't know if I want to even stick to the plan right now. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this room. Thank you for filling us, Lord, time and time and time again. A continual filling, this river flowing from our bellies, this river flowing from our inmost being, Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. I feel like sometimes you can't sing that song and then rush 5 minutes through it. But Daniel, we have a time schedule. He doesn't. So it's this mind of Christ that is the heart of God. Because Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. He said, I can do nothing of myself, but I can only do what I see the Father, my Father. I love how he always said, my Father. He took ownership. My Father. That's my dad. That's my dad. You know, that's what gives me my shout. It's my identity in Christ and the Father. It's what allows us to come boldly before the throne and shout. Our worship is a heart cry, is it not? It's a heart cry. It's coming out of the deepest place in us. It should be. It's what we sing, we write these words and we sing these songs and we believe that this worship, I mean, God is coming back right now in this service. Oh my gosh. There is a whew. We believe that when we're playing our music and when we're singing our songs. And it's that heart that Proverbs says flows all the springs of life. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Every spring that he's going to come out of is going to come out of your heart. He came to enthrone himself on our hearts. And it's that that transfers into our worship teams. Practically speaking, tune your instrument. Okay. I wrote this one down. Play nice with others if you can't play well with others. Can I get a shout on that one? Shout! I will play nice with others if I can't play well with others. I will, Lord. And if I'm playing better than them, I'll still play nice with others. That's a good one. That's a good one, Daniel. Good one. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Here's another good practical. Stop listening to only one kind of music. The Lord listens to all of it. I'm not saying fill your temple with ungodliness. I actually pay very close attention to what I allow, because my eyes and my ears are gates, and so is my mouth, and whatever comes in my eyes and my ears might come out of my mouth. I know that, you know, sticks it to some of the modern worship leaders and everything who listen. Yeah, listen to anything. It doesn't matter. No, it matters. Why? Because worship is a heart cry. And whatever's coming out of those creative, some of those places, is coming out of a place that might be a little funky. And then you'll see it come out in you if you're paying close attention. We're called to steward this heart. And that's what's going to bleed over in worship. Because it's whatever is in you that will come out of you. So, we fill our ears and we fill our minds with good things, right? Whatever's good, whatever's pleasing, whatever's acceptable, whatever's not coarse jesting, sarcastic. I'm just going to push any buttons if I can. I like to do that. You know, if we never shine light on things, then we never see it, do we? It's good to think about these things. It's good because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Again, back to his heart. See, all the springs of life are in the heart of God, who's enthroned on your heart, and all the springs of life come out of there. And so the purer you have become when you accepted Jesus, well, you were already a filter, but when you accepted Jesus, you became the filter of heaven. And however pure and clear your filter is, that's what comes out in your worship. That's what comes out when you're teaching a worship team. When you're saying, no, play this, no, play that. Let there be no outbursts of anger. Oh, gee. Ooh, what was that? Has anybody ever had any outbursts of anger on your worship team? I've been in some of those. You know, it's this childlikeness that is our vision to see what the Father is doing. It's childlikeness that gives us our vision to see the kingdom that's banging down your front door. You see, the kingdom is already at hand. We had the same name. It's already at hand. It might possibly be touching everyone around you. Huh. It might be activated by what you see that causes you, like Jesus, to have compassion. So we need compassion on our worship teams. We need compassion with each other. We cannot walk in unity in our worship teams and in church. See, because it's not unity for unity's sake. It's a restoration. The Bible says that there will be a restoration of all things before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Before he comes back, there's going to be a restoration of all things. Amen? You're here. You're that agent. You're the ambassador of heaven on your worship team. How many of you have... I used to be in a secular band for about 5 years, and I had a drummer. He got hired to play at churches. And I knew that at that point in my life, I was not walking with the Lord. And I knew that before every service, he was smoking something that wasn't the Holy Ghost. And he was, you know, it takes a lot of compassion to deal with somebody like that. You may know of these people on your worship team that are getting hired in, maybe. I don't know. Do any of you guys have that? Does anybody here, do y'all hire in people from anywhere? Oh, okay. Well, then this doesn't apply to you. Never mind. But some people walk like that, and they're in the church. Because we've used grace as a cover-up for evil. We've used grace as a license for sin. Grace is the operational power of heaven. It's not a license for sin. It's what activated you into the kingdom. But it's not. You know what I'm saying? Here's another good one. Let's lose the ego. The ego is not in heaven, nor shall it be on earth. How do we lose the ego? We lose our opinions. There is a standard. If your instrument is out of tune, you know that it needs to go back to probably 440 hertz. It's probably going to be tuned back, and ding, it's in tune. There's a standard. But there's grace on that standard, and there's the heart of the Father is just forgiving, you know. And I don't want to bore you guys to death. I was trying to get some good practical application here. Oh, I got one. Have a sense of humor about it all. His house is a house of joyful prayer. Practice with a metronome. Oh, that's the next one. This is good, isn't it? You know? Sometimes we take ourselves so seriously, we develop an ego and a lot of opinions. And the Lord's not like that. He has every right to have an ego. And he doesn't. He humbles himself. But you know, we're still designed to shine and be unique and have character on multiple fronts. Good character and character, you know? It's okay to have style. David had style. You know, David was like a rock star in his day. I mean, he was like, you know, 14 years old, whoo, kills the giant of Israel that was plaguing Israel's army at the time, shouting all this stuff at him, and just everybody's like, oh, man, he's right. God, we're never going to make it. Oh, man, Jesus, come back. Jesus, you do all the work. I don't need to kill this giant. You're giant killers. You're giant killers. Say, I am a giant killer. How do you kill a giant? Confucius say, no, I'm just kidding. You kill a giant with the heart of God. Nobody will talk about my God like that. Nobody will be that disrespectful. Then he kills the giant, 14 years old or 13. He was a teenager. How old was he? Does anybody know exactly how old he was? He was a little guy. He was just a little guy. You know, that was another good one. When Samuel went to go find David and he goes to his house, God told Samuel, don't look at the man's stature. Don't judge by your eyes. It's not necessarily the best musician that has the heart of God. It's not necessarily the one with the least amount of flaws and the one that looks the best that has the heart of God, that's carrying the heart of God. It's not necessarily the one with the most skill. I think we can all attest to that. We're carrying the heart of God, and we don't have the most skill. Yeah! Because perfection in the kingdom is completion, not flawlessness. It's completion. You're completed in Christ. His blood made you perfect. His blood made you perfect. We still stumble, but his blood made us perfect. And Samuel comes in and he says, there's another guy, and it's just this little guy, David. And the Lord said, don't judge by your eyes. That's a good one for the worship teams. Is that good? Look for the ones carrying the heart of God. Look for the ones, and the ones that are kind of like, bring them along too, but you know what I'm saying? And then he goes, and because he kills the giant, he gets the king's daughter, who at the time, she was beautiful. She was the king's daughter. He was a little shepherd boy, goes out, kills this giant, and then he inherits all this stuff. But the reason why she ended up barren was because he didn't lose his heart. And he became undignified before the Lord and just decided to just worship all the days of his life and plant this tabernacle, this tent really at the time, and then Solomon planted this tabernacle, this temple. He was a rock star. He had every reason to say, "Woo, man, Saul slays his thousands, but David slays his 10,000s. He had every reason to develop ego, to develop, a big, haughty, proud look. But he knew God resisted the proud. He knew God resisted the critical. And he said, Michael, I'll become even more undignified than this. I'll lay it down even more than this. You're going to see me look like the court jester before the end of my life. But God is on me. God is with me. The fire of his presence, the fire of the ark is in me. The ark of the covenant is in my heart. I'm carrying that to the nations. I'm carrying that to the world. What's cool about America is that the nations have all come here. You are carrying this to the nations. You are a product of the nations, probably. We're all hybrids. Is that good? Are you getting some good stuff? So, all this to say, before Natalia speaks, unless the Lord builds the worship team, the laborers labor in vain who build it. Unless the, you know the scripture, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the worship team, we labor in vain who build it. So we have to see what Jesus sees and do what he does and bring that heart to our worship team. And then whatever's in our worship team will come out of them. So I'm going to hand it over now to my beautiful wife, Natalia.
Everybody clap for Natalia. Oh, gosh. No need to clap. Do you guys know why it's important to want to be a laid-down lover? I heard someone say it once, because a lover will work harder than a slave ever would. He'll work harder than a servant even would, even if you were getting paid for a job. If you love someone, you're gonna work hard to please them and to do whatever makes them happy, more than if you were getting paid, more than if it was just your duty, you know? So I just want to turn it a little bit and talk. The title, I guess, of this session is The Heart and Soul of the Band and the Mind of Christ. So I just want to, I was asking the Lord, I was saying, you know, okay, so Daniel and I, we lead worship together, and I sing, and I don't play an instrument, and I don't really lead the band. And so I was, like, asking the Lord, I was like, well, I don't really know, like, if I know what the heart and the soul of the band is, because I don't really lead the band, you know? And then he told me, he said, no, each person in the band is the heart and soul of the band. And I've got some notes on here, just a second. So, like, I just want to say, like, each one of you is the heart and soul of the band. And, like, I've heard it said a lot of times, like a drummer is the backbone of the band. And I disagree. I think maybe the drums are the backbone of a song, but that each person, whether your background vocals, whether you're the bass, whether you're the song leader, that each one of you has like a dynamic part to play. And like whenever he asked who's all worship leader in here, the truth is every one of you should have raised your hand. Because whether or not you're the song leader, you're leading worship. You're leading a room of people in worship. And so each one of you are the heart and soul of the band. And the reason is that is without you, the band wouldn't operate. It wouldn't operate to its fullest capacity, its fullest ability. That each one of you need to realize that you bring a value and you bring something, that you're bringing something. And I think that when you realize your value and like your worth to the team and to the band, then you can see the value and the worth of what someone else is bringing to the team. And I think that's really important to be able to see and recognize like what each person is bringing to the band. And you can only do that when you see that what you're bringing. So I believe that the heart and soul is about realizing your value to the team so that you can recognize the value or the heart and soul of another. Encouraging the giftings in each other is crucial to the heart and soul. You know, we want to build each other up. We want to build our brothers up. We want to build our sisters up. It's not about competition. You know, it's not about, like, who gets the best bass line, who gets the lead vocals, you know, whatever. It's not about that. We got to get rid of the critical spirit. Mercy triumphs over judgment, like every time. It's not just God's judgment, but it's our judgment too. Mercy still triumphs over my judgment. So, and then like I hear a lot like in the church, like a talk about excellence. And I just want to say like excellence is good, but I think sometimes perfectionism masquerades as excellence. Not all the time, but sometimes it does. And I'm not saying, like, don't be good at something. Be good at it. Like, practice it. Acquire new skills. But, like, a couple years ago, Daniel and I were leading worship somewhere, and we were practicing, and we were going over, I think, a certain part in a song, and I wasn't quite just getting it there. And so we would go over, and we would start at the top, and, like, you know, all this stuff. And so then when the time came to actually lead people in that song, afterwards, I asked Daniel, and I said, what'd you think? Like, I don't know. And he's like, no. He's like, we save the practice for that. And then when it's time to do it, then we don't, all the pressure's off. Because the reality is it's not about that. It's not about how good it is. It's never about that, and it never will be. I don't see, like, the angels, like, rehearsing, and going to the top of every song, you know? Like, so, anyways, I just think about that. But, And in Colossians, I like to read the message sometimes. I know it's not like 100%. I always like go back. But in Colossians, Paul says, Colossians 2, he says, I want you woven into the tapestry of love. And so like our goal is to be knit together, you know, not to have a critical spirit, but to make unity the focus. Unity with the spirit and unity with each other. We love God and we love our neighbor. And it's so simple, but I think that that's the reality of the heart and soul. And another thing I would say is to make peace your prize. We're not only one body, but we have one goal. We're all in one kingdom, you know, and a win for you is a win for me. And just because, you know, he was talking about opinions, you know, like if we're going to make peace our prize, then that means I actually have to listen to you when you give your opinion. You know, like it's not just about my opinions, but that I actually believe that God speaks to you too. That I'm not the only one that like I don't have the only channel to heaven, you know, like that this, you know, bass player, the piano player, whatever, like they have they hear God too. And so yeah, a win for you is a win for me. So I just felt like I mean that's just so simple, but yeah, the heart and the soul is unity. It's honoring yourself and your teammates. And then it's making peace your prize. And maybe you want to wrap it up a little bit.
Let's all just stand. I like the up and downs. It gets your blood flowing. It's good for you. Believe it. Believe it. Hey, that's a good point. You know, Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain because it was what he believed and not what he brought. Because it's faith that pleases God. So I would encourage you in our worship teams to operate out of faith and watch the Lord be pleased and shine in our churches and bring about unity through the love of God. David said in Psalm 119:96, I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. What's his commandment? Love as I have loved. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Multitude. Thousands. How many times should I forgive? 70 times 7. Infinitely. If we're walking in this forgiveness, we'll be able to see the kingdom right in front of us. You're each called to be to grow and mature into a father and a mother. Because once you get away from family, the design of family, you get away from kingdom thinking. It's family that's kingdom thinking. So we need to think like a family if we want to walk in unity in our churches, in our worship teams, in our life. You know, how many of you have the crazy uncle? I am the crazy uncle. I have five nieces and nephews. I am the crazy uncle. They love me. They like come up to me. They know that I will play with them. And it's that knowing their faith that I will play with them that pleases me. And every time, no matter how tired I am, no matter how much I see and how much I could be hurt by all the pain that I see, it ignites my love, pleases me. And I run to my nieces and nephews and I'm like, oh, I love you. Let's go play on the playground. Let's go swing outside. Let's go. I'll do anything with you right now. I would do anything you asked for. I would answer all your prayers right now. Because you've loved as I've loved. You've loved me and you've loved my people. So I think we have to dive into love even deeper, guys. And it's not, I think we got to dive into love deeper. We just got to go for it. We've got to all just agree to hold hands and jump off the cliff. So let's hold out our hands and receive this fiery love. Let's receive this patient love. You know, Peter, I think it's in 2 Peter, it says, regard the Lord's patience as salvation. We should be that for people. We should be patient. They should be able to feel that patience on us. Slow to anger, quick to listen. Father, we thank you so much for your what you've deposited in our hearts today. Lord, that you've calibrated our hearts back to your heart this morning. Father, we can see you right now. And when we can see you, we can be like you because we become what we behold. And we will behold you, Lord, and be transformed from glory to glory. And we will transform others. And we'll watch that cover all of our flaws and all of our mistakes in our own life and in our worship teams and in our churches. That there is nothing more practical than the love that would lay down its life for another. That would lay down its pride for another. That would lay down its critical spirit for another. That it would say, whatever I can do to get underneath you and lift you up, I'll do that. I will lay down my life for my brother and my sister. I will lay down. I will be a laid down lover of God and people. And I will get underneath my worship team and lift them up and let them shine. Because Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Shine before men. Shine. I want everybody just to say shine and repeat it. Shine. 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 Shine, 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 shine.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Lanco Worship Link Training. Join us as we get together to inspire, connect, and equip local worship teams. Find out when the next event is at lancoworshiplink.blogspot.com.